They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, joining me today is one of my favorite guests, and it's Dr. Gary Solomon. Dr. Solomon understands and realizes that living in an HOA can really do more damage than good, and he keeps expanding his research and his understanding. And Gary, I'm so honored that you will come on here and share your knowledge with us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, I'm too honored to ask to come back and talk with you, and I appreciate the fact that you're out there and you are part of trying to inform and educate the general public in areas where our government is not coming to our aid.
Well, our government is creating these things, so
that
you
is
know,
correct.
let's not give them a free pass. by saying you're not coming to our aid, I think is giving them a free pass. Government, you are responsible for what's going on in residential America. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse.
Agreed.
As you know, Gary, one of my big concerns has always been the children. What are we doing to our kids by raising them in these controlled communities?
Mm-hmm.
How is that affecting them? We're going to get to that. But before we do, I would very much like to talk about a blog post that I ran into a few days ago when I was doing a little more research to get ready for the show. And it's by Ryan Polyakov, who supposedly has not been an attorney for well over 10 years. But he is ridiculing you, and he is ridiculing your research. And the blog that he wrote was titled, "A Dreaded New Malady Strikes HOA Owners. Save yourselves, save your families, sue your HOA." And he talks about HOA syndrome, and he thinks that maybe he ought to put it under condo comedy. And he attacks you personally. Do you have any comeback on this?
Well, I'm going to tell you some good news here. When I first came out with HOA syndrome, and I had been studying it for years, and then I released the research, I expected a big backlash. I mean, I expected a wave of articles to be written commenting on the work in a negative way. Much to my surprise, he was one of only two articles that came out. One was a radio show, and one was his article that made similar kinds of comments. That having been said, I was actually pleased. The other thing that I would say about it is that when I read those kinds of statements, and looking at research and what I go through to do the research, I realize that this is the mentality, the individual or individuals, who will turn their nose up at research in the name of, well, I've got an opinion, and my opinion is based on what's going to serve me the best. My example would be as follows. For years, we tried to get people to understand about battered wife syndrome. It was laughed at. It was scoffed at. Today, it is a common state argument in the courts. We argued for years about the Stockholm Syndrome. We argued for years about a wide variety of issues that may happen, the obsessive compulsive disorders. And this is just a bunch of bunk. Well, it's not. The difference in what brings HOA syndrome to the forefront is that they didn't exist before. If we look at, let's say, the condition of what used to be called shell shock in the First World War, eventually matriculated to post-traumatic stress disorder, that was argued and is still argued today that it really doesn't exist yet. It is the most prolific mental disorder in our country. HOAs didn't exist 100 years ago. They only are recent, and the problems within the HOA are only recent within the last 15 to 20 years. Therefore, it is not a surprise, like a new disease, like a new syndrome, that something's going to come about from something that's new. This is a sign of ignorance. This is a sign that this is an individual who has no interest in science, but only an interest in himself and his opinion. And usually, when I look at it, it's linked to money. What I have found with my work is that I have made sure that nothing that I've done is tied to money. I don't sell it. I don't let people pay me for it. I do all my consulting for free. I do my casework for free. But when I look at the comments that come back, they're always tied to people who are earning income within the industry. And when I look at that, what I see is hidden agenda. What I see is bias. And if those people were suddenly offered a job paying more money to come work for anti-HOA organizations, they'd come on board. Because it's not about the better good. It's about the money.
You know, that's so typical. Thank you. That's an absolutely excellent comeback for this. But this type of thing is so typical of the HOA bullies, whether they're managers or board members or the industry attorneys or even the industry, I'm just going to call them the slackers, because they all seem to have big titles, big names, huge paychecks. And pretty much all they do is they say, well, I don't know why you're complaining. Didn't you agree to this? Nobody agrees to being bullied. Nobody agrees to being harassed. And nobody, if anybody was thinking, some of these people also have kids. What on earth are they doing to their own kids and to the future of this country? And we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, but go ahead. Answer. No, we'll get into that later. We've got plenty of time, Gary. We've got time.
The issue of the people who are making money within the industry gets bigger and bigger literally every day. Because of the lack of regulations involved in becoming a management company or a manager or a collection on and on, this became easy pickings. And when the government put this together, they made sure that this was private wealth management. They didn't want this to be a government process. And as soon as it became private wealth management, the theme is simple. If I made $10,000 in a month off of an HOA, how could I make $11,000? Well, if I made $11,000, how can I make $12,000? And then $13,000. That's the nature of private wealth management. We want more and more and more, and this is done at the expense of others. So year by year, day by day, if it were divided out, the individual homeowners are being picked of their equity, little by little, by the people who want more and more.
So that's
what it boils down to.
That pretty much explains what the industry people are all about. I'm going to qualify that. There are some good ones. There's always a good one in a bad bunch of apples, but by far the biggest bunch is a bad
bunch of apples.
Yes, and there are, and I want to admit that, too. I have come across some good ones. They're fair, they're honest. But what I am seeing happen now is that the ownership of the management companies and collection companies and law firms has gone national.
Yes.
And so they're buying out the local management companies and collection companies. And they're being bought out, not on the basis that they're going to be acting fairly, but on the basis that they're going to make more and more money. That is the only reason that they do what they do. And when that happens, I recently did a television interview, and the news reporter said to me, well, I live in an HOA, and I don't have any problems, and none of this exists. And my response was, oh, it exists, you just don't know it, because it hasn't happened to you yet. And because you've got a good management company today is an indication of what's coming tomorrow.
The other problem that
happens is that every one of these bad management companies has an effect on the good management companies. There is a lasting effect that goes on. And ultimately, and I'm sure you talked about this in other forum, I believe you talked about it in the shows, ultimately, as the banks are getting together now and talking about stopping lending into HOA, homeowners associations in certain parts of the country,
yes,
everybody in that state's going to be affected.
Yes.
Well, if I've got a good management company and I have another one that's a bad management company, the bad management company drives the decision. And so the good neighborhood is going to be affected by what the bad neighborhood did.
There are so many stories that I hear from people about some of these enormous management companies that are across the country, and they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the stuff they get away with is unbelievable. I think it's time for the FBI to start doing a little digging.
Yeah.
Because it is pretty bad. It's really pretty bad. And the people in charge are not the nicest people.
Well, I can tell you that along the way with my research, I began the process of looking at history around the world and looking at how does this compare to what has happened in the past. And the reality is that this has happened over and over and over again, that when communities come together, eventually one sector of the community takes over another sector. If I look back just to the recent times of the abolitionist period, during the slave period, look, we're only 150 years out of having slaves in this country for the purpose of making money. And the idea of stopping that, we look now and think how abhorrent that that went on. Yet, if you go back to that period, those people who fought against slavery were murdered. They were hung. They were tortured. Because they were putting at risk other people's livelihoods. I believe the same thing is happening today. And those of us who are fighting against it, if I look at the things that have happened to me, or people have tried to do to me, it has nothing to do with right or wrong. It has to do with money.
But I still want to understand the makeup of someone who would put money ahead of their own kids. I mean, these people have got to be monsters, Gary.
Well, in the field of psychiatry, in my field, we have what is known as antisocial personality disorder. And this disorder is oftentimes confused because of its name, antisocial, as if I'm not a social person. That's not what it means. These are individuals who can do other things to other people or groups of people without any moral consciousness, without any regret. The public, the news, refers to this to be a psychopath or a sociopath, but the technical name is antisocial. These people get up in the morning and have no concern about what they've done to you, about how they've done it, and the way that they've done it. And the way that I amplify this as a story is that I will talk to my classes and I say, you don't think this is happening? How many times when someone's trying to make a right-hand turn from a parking lot onto the street, do you let them merge in, or do you speed up and go past them? and they all laugh. That is a basis of what do we do for our fellow human being? And the answer is, what we do is we look out for ourselves first. You do what you got to do after I'm gone. So these are people who are only looking out for themselves first, and they could care less about what happens to others. It now becomes more complicated because now it's become AIDS-oriented. It's also become health-oriented. And as these complications move around and I'm doing the research in this area, there is no question in my mind that it is the individuals with children and the individuals who are elderly and the infirm that are going to be hit the hardest. They're the most vulnerable.
I think the elderly and minorities tend to think that they've violated the law because they didn't get permission to put a hose up in front, store a hose up. And they will often come to me and they're just absolutely terrified about this one thing. I've broken the law. Am I going to be deported? What's going to happen to me? You haven't broken the law. Some idiot deciding that you can't have your hose in the front yard is not a lawmaker.
Right.
You know, you just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Therein too lies part of the problem. The idea of saying to someone, and I speak now as a therapist, I treat people who are dealing with HOA syndrome. The idea of saying don't worry about it just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Because that letter that comes in the mail immediately strikes a nerve. Mm-hmm. And that nerve becomes pervasive by hour, by day. What am I going to do about it? I'm worried. And they're worried at work, and they're worried at home. And now there's conflict in the family. And now we get to the issues and the problems that are related to the family within the homeowners association.
So let's talk about the children. Let's talk about the kids that mom and dad pick up after work. And they drive home, and they're afraid of checking their mail, or there's something that's stuck to the door, and all of a sudden they fall apart, and they go to pieces. And it's a threat letter from one of the neighbors, from the association, from the attorney. And so the parents are really scared. But what does that do to the kid? Because the kid usually looks up to the parent and thinks that the parent's going to protect them from all evils in the world.
Well, I recently released an article about 2 months ago called Child Abuse by Proxy in Homeowners Associations. If the individual who's listening wants to receive that article, they can just simply go online and type Child Abuse by Proxy HOA. Let's first look at what child abuse by proxy is, or what used to be called Munchausen by proxy. This is when a parent, a legal guardian, usually a female, would abuse a child quite covertly, such that the child required hospitalization and medical care. Now, this is a sickness. This is an illness. Today it's known as fictitious disorder. And these individuals get a great deal of pleasure from the need to get attention specifically from the medical community. What happens? Well, they make the child ill. They will inject them with fecal matter, with cleaning solutions. They end up in the hospital. They have to be treated. They can't be talked to by the doctor. Who gets the attention? The parent. Now that child starts to get well. And we have recordings. We've videoed parents suffocating their children in hospitals to keep them there so that the parent can keep the attention. And so you say to yourself at this point, now, wait a minute, Doc, what's that got to do with homeowners association and child abuse? And now I will explain. Child abuse by proxy in homeowners association comes about when the individuals, the management companies, the collection companies, the board, get pleasure by inflicting pain and harm on the homeowners. Now, the homeowner is having a difficult time handling the stress. when the stress mounts up, and I could go through the lecture technicalities on glucocorticoids and corticals and everything that happens in our body when stress goes up. When stress happens, it comes out in different forms. All of us have had the argument with our spouse, an argument with our friend, an argument at work. But when we have those arguments, when we lose our temper, these are usually with people who are in positions of equal power, but not in the home. What happens in the home is that the parent, our parents, now begin to become stressed in the home. They begin to quarrel amongst themselves. That quarreling is now observed by the children. And now the children are being held responsible for, why did you do this? Why did you do that? No, you can't go out and play. You can't do this. You can't do that. Stay away from them. Don't do this. And now the children are being abused by proxy because of what the HOA did. Now the onlooker would say, no, wait a minute, it's the parents that did it. But the reason is, what's the cause of that action? And the cause of that action is an abusive homeowners association and board and management company. That's why I refer to this as child abuse by proxy in homeowners association. And I do believe that when the government begins to recognize the depths of this problem, when they begin to analyze the damage that's being done to these children all across the country, they will begin to recognize the nature of abuse. I will also add to this that the repercussions of this, the long-term, longitudinal repercussions, are catastrophic, because these children growing up in these abused homes are going to become adults who were abused. And who are they going to retaliate against? They're going to retaliate against neighbors in homeowners associations because they want payback. And we see that all around us every day as more organizations such as the police are being retaliated against because there was one bad cop who was abusive. This is going to be an enormous problem. The studies in Romania prove that this is true, and other studies around the world. It's not this generation that's going to be a big problem. This generation is just going to lose their equity. The next generation who's lost the equity and was abused, they're going to come after them.
So you're not painting a very rosy picture for the future. We're not only not dealing with what's going on today, but we're sort of setting up things to be really bad in the future.
You know, Sue, when you and I first talked, I believe I said that when I started the research and I recognized the problem, I thought I could solve it in 18 months. I would simply publish it, people would recognize what would happen, and they would say, of course, we need to stop this. I couldn't have been more delusional. I was absolutely, irrefragably wrong. The picture that is painted today is that they're going to continue to do this. But let's step back for a moment and look at other kinds of problems. We know we've got major water shortage problems, but our utilization continues to grow. We know we have problems, social problems, and illness problems in hospitals as diseases become more and more difficult to stop, but they continue. It doesn't paint a rosy picture, but it is certainly a model, a paradigm for all the other things that are taking place around us. One of the things that I have said in the past is, look, if this was back brakes on a particular model car, every one of those cars would be pulled off the road immediately, or bad fruit, or if it was bad vegetables, they'd pull them off the shelf. The government knows this is bad. The FBI knows this is bad, and they're leaving everything on the shelf. And therein lies their hidden agenda.
Why? What is their hidden agenda?
The hidden agenda, as it turns out, is our infrastructure problems in the United States. The reality is that the infrastructure of the United States is breaking apart. Bridges, roads, underlying plumbing, gas lines, water lines, all of it's beginning to fall apart. Those lines that were put in 75, 100 years ago were never intended to last this long. We don't have the money to pay for it. Well, how are we going to pay for it? And the solution is produce a form of double taxation. Here's how it works. You live in a particular state. We'll use my state, Nevada. You buy a home in any location that's not in an HOA, and you will pay taxes that will cover, in part, the repair of the infrastructure. And that includes the community you live in. But now, buy into a homeowners association. You'll pay the same tax as the other one who's living outside the HOA, but now you're going to pay a new tax called dues. And those dues are going to be used to pay for the same thing that your tax has already paid for. And the HOA will say, oh, wait a minute, but we've got a management company. You don't have to. Well, we've got accounting to do. You don't have to. Well, we've got a little local little strip of land. Well, I'll be glad to take care of that. No charge. Let's get rid of this. Oh, well, we can't do that. This is double taxation for the purpose of attempting to resolve our infrastructure problems. What's coming? I would estimate in the next 7 to 10 years, we're going to see that cities are quadranted off, very much like ghettos. These cities will be blocked off by 1 mile blocks or 3/4 mile blocks. If you don't live in an HOA and live in that quadrant, you will now live in that quadrant's HOA, and you're going to be charged for the maintenance of the streets and for the maintenance of the lawns and. And it will simply be an HOA not by choice, but by proxy.
That's on the state level. And I guess I guess all the laws are state statutes that allow this, but the federal government has a responsibility since they are providing the funding, the mortgage funding and the backing for these associations. They must realize that they cannot have 50 states out there that are just having these enormous problems down the road.
I do believe, Sue, they do realize it. They know. I thought for a while they didn't. They do know. They know what's going on. I personally believe, I have no proof of this, but my personal belief is they've been told, stay out. We have major financial problems with the infrastructure. We need the money.
Well, I don't know if I'll still be around when the stuff hits, but it'll be interesting to see what they do. We're talking to Dr. Gary Solomon, who has written a number of papers. One of them is the HOA syndrome, talking about the problems that people have in HOAs and how HOAs do make you ill. The other is elder abuse, and now we've got child abuse by proxy, and none of it paints a pretty picture for residential America, basically. So, Gary, these kids, and I want to stay on topic of the kids. These kids, when they grow up, they're going to grow up having been abused. They're going to grow up with probably personality issues and personality problems. They're going
Antisocial personality disorder is what's called a personality disorder. It's one of 10 personality disorders.
So these kids who might otherwise have been perfectly normal, had they had a normal childhood where, you know, they were taught how to behave properly, they were given manners, they were educated properly, and given the self-confidence to grow up and be someone.
Take a little journey with me, Sue.
All right.
And let's go back in time, because you said you didn't know if you'd be alive. Let's go back 40 years. And you were young, and I was young, and we were out there playing and doing whatever we were doing. And there were kids growing up who were being bullied on the schoolyard, pushed around by the tough kids, teened, tossed, and teened, and They were yelled at, and they were, you're ugly, and you're fat, and you're this, and you're that. Well, those children grew up, and some of them ended up being attorneys and sitting on HOA boards and sitting on collection companies. And now it's payback time. And now they will use their adult power to lash back at everything that happened to them. And I see this all the time. I spend a fair amount of time in the courtroom, and I listen to the judges that are handling these cases. Some of them are so sick. They are so ill. They have no business being on the bench. But by the time they get there, they're almost impossible to remove. What do? The homeowner goes in and tries to get justice and tries to be heard. And the judge says, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Get out of my courtroom. Every day, every courtroom. This has been going on a long time. The people who are adults today, who are doing the abusing, were those who, when they were younger, were once abused. Now the next generation is coming up, except the people, the children being abused, are living in the neighborhood. And when they grow up, we got to wonder, what will they matriculate to be? What will they do? I know that what I'm saying is very dark, and I, when I began our discussions early on some years ago, I really was hopeful. But I'm going to be completely honest with you here, Shu. In the face of the amount of money that's involved, in the face of the fact that the federal government has decided to turn its back and allow this to go on, we have invited this to take place, and there is not a single incentive to get them to stop.
Except for people who want to live in peace in their own homes.
Yes.
And yes. Those are the ones who really need to understand what's going on. And I agree with you. You mentioned a while ago you thought you'd have the whole thing wrapped up in 18 months. People would read it and go, oh, wow, yes, I agree. I've been doing this. This is my 16th year on this particular radio show, and it's not my first radio show. So I've been trying to educate the public and educate everyone about what's going on, not because I'm so brilliant, but what I do is I bring in brilliant people like yourself to talk about these issues.
I appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
And I'm thinking, you know, people have got to, if they're not going to listen to me, they've got to listen to Dr. Solomon. They've got to listen to all these people who come on who are so knowledgeable in their particular field. They're not necessarily knowledgeable about everything, but they're all little pieces of the puzzle. So we put these pieces of the puzzle together, and you get the big picture, right?
Yeah.
16 years later, I'm still finding pieces of the puzzle to put together, and I'm wondering if anybody is ever going to get it.
I would suggest to you, Shu, that it is certainly going to take longer. I invite you to go back in time. Let's look at the slave period that begins in the 15 and 1600s. It didn't end, at least in the legal sense, until 1865, but still continued on afterwards. Let's go back and look at those people that started it. It started slow. It gradually picked up momentum. And when it picked up momentum, it picked up money. And those people like John Brown and Frederick Douglass who tried to stop it, they were severely punished for what they did. Because don't get in the way of my money. I don't see this as being any different. I do see this as the embryonic stages of what slavery was 300 years ago. And I would project that within the next 50 to 100 years, we're looking at an entire country that's based on individual quadrants, individual communes or communities that I refer to as ghettos, that are owned and operated by the management companies and collection companies are overseen by the board members who have a personal agenda to make sure that their neighbors are kept in line. And one of the things that I wrote about in HOA syndrome was the use of the capo. And capo in Germany is spelled K-A-P-O. Here we spell it C-A-P-O. The capo was the individual who was in concentration camps but was a prisoner. And the Germans would bring them in and put them in charge of their fellow prisoners. The records show that the capos were more brutal to the prisoners than the Germans were. Well, the people on the board, not all of them, but many of them, have turned into capos. And they love what they do. And they sit in the meeting, and they sit in front of the table, and they look at the people out in front of them, and they tell them how they will live their life. And if they don't, they will suffer the consequences. And God help you if one of those capos decides to take a personal revenge against you and start spewing out the letters. Or that capo has a friend in the neighborhood who doesn't like another person in the neighborhood and says, I want you to get rid of this guy. And it goes on all the time, every day, all over the country. I have offered solutions to this problem, and to date, everybody has looked the other way.
When I was on the board in my HOA many years ago, I think 25 years ago, I found it really interesting because we had two neighbors. They lived a couple of doors apart, and they'd been there for a long time, and they were friends. One of them would get a letter from the association citing them for whatever, and she would take this letter. They're both single ladies. And she would take this letter to her friend, and she says, can you believe that the HOA sent me this letter? Can you imagine? I mean, where do you see a problem here? Oh, no, not I. Mm-hmm. It turns out that they were both reporting each other to the association anonymously. The association, without any proof whatsoever that there really, in fact, was a problem, would then sit down and write a letter and send it to the person. I mean, yeah. This went on forever. It was back and forth, and they would confide in me. Don't tell her, but I'm the one who reported her.
When I'm treating people for HOA syndrome, one of the very first things they say is, I think it's my neighbor that did this to me.
Yeah.
And the paranoia becomes epidemic, if not pandemic. One neighbor after another neighbor after another neighbor. And when I originally released the book that came out a year and a half ago, HOA Crisis in America, that's free to anybody who wants it. Just type in HOA Crisis in America. The movie that I recommend that people watch is a movie called The Monsters Are Due on Maple Drive. It was done by Rod Serling. It was one of the Twilight Zone episodes. And it shows very clearly what happens when one neighbor becomes paranoid of another neighbor becomes paranoid of another neighbor. We ask ourselves today, I ask you, Sue, do we live in communities and neighborhoods today?
No.
Or do we live isolated by ourselves?
We are very definitely isolated. There's no more community, no sense of community, no coming together, working together, helping each other out, as there was and is in associations or in developments, neighborhoods, without a mandatory membership association. I can prove that you can go back, because we had one situation here in Virginia where a homeowner sued the association multiple times. It went back and forth, and the homeowner won repeatedly. And in Virginia, if you request it and if you're the prevailing party, you're entitled to fees and costs. And the judge awarded them every penny they asked for. And the association would then, you know, sue again and sue again. And it just kept going on and on. Eventually, the association went bankrupt because they were out of money. And they had to give money to, they had to pay off the legal fees for both sides. The homeowners eventually got together. And what they did, they talked about
doing away with the association? That proved to be a little too difficult to do. You couldn't do that. So in the alternative, what they did was they amended the governing documents, because they could, and they gutted the power of the association. So the association exists, but it has absolutely zero power. And all of a sudden, the neighbors who were living in a war zone, because they were isolated, fingers pointing and all of that, all of a sudden they became friends, and they became neighbors, and they started having parties, and they started sending thank you gifts to their neighbor who had done something nice for them. When it snowed, and of course there was no association to collect the money to hire a snow removal company, somebody did. Somebody hired someone to come in and then went around the neighborhood with a hat and said, if you'd like to donate to defray the cost of having our streets plowed, please do so. And everybody chipped in and threw in $20, $30, whatever it cost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's a community. Not what most people live in today.
No, absolutely not. Today, we live in a place in Nevada. We have a nice home that overlooks the city in an HOA. We would never have moved in had we have known. But we make sure every year that we throw a party for the entire community, and we put up banners and signs. I would say 3-4% of the community comes, and I would say the same percentage hates what we do because of the idea of creating that sense of community. If a sense of community is created, if people bond together, if they unite, they can become more powerful.
Yeah.
My personal belief is the mentality of the HOAs and the boards are keep everybody separated, keep the walls that divide one house from the next, that primary division between one house to the next. And that's where it ends. Of sorts, we put ourselves in little cells within the ghetto. And we drive in our driveway. We hit our garage door opener, we drive in, we close the garage door, and that's it. The days of the kids riding up and down the street and playing basketball and running and skateboarding, I don't know about you, but I never see it.
I don't either. And I think there's a war against kids in particular, because little three-year-olds who are using sidewalk chalk in the summer when they're outdoors, the parents are getting fined for it. I mean, it'll rain and it washes it out. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
And the person with obsessive compulsive disorder, and I've written about this too, they can't tolerate it. They're the ones that drive down the block and they look at that and their mind is literally hit with overload. They cannot let go of the fact that this is just child's play. To them, it is a personal irritation that must be dealt with.
Kids out there playing ball, there, you know, you might break a window, so we can't have kids out there. Kids on skateboards and bikes, no, it's too dangerous, you can't be there. Kids who actually decide they want to do some good. I mean, these are the kids that you want to promote and work with. Kids who see an elderly or person in the neighborhood who needs some help, or somebody who's been sick, or somebody who's been robbed, or somebody whose house has been broken into or burned down or whatever, try to raise money by having lemonade stands to help this neighbor. The association goes after them. A little kid, it was adorable. There was this little kid who was worried about a family of ducks crossing the street. So she made a sign that said, you know, be careful, duck crossing. It was a little, tiny little sign that she put on the side of the road. And the association went after her.
Yeah.
Kids who have diseases, sicknesses, who want a playhouse, who want some place to go and be away from everyone. They're not allowed to have their little
playhouses. They're not allowed to have their playgrounds, not allowed to have anything in the backyard. The association goes after them. Currently, there's a little girl who's got a purple playhouse.
Yes, I'm familiar with that case.
There are over 7,000 comments on that article. Not one of them is pro-HOA.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them says, oh, but the HOA deserves that. Hey, where's Ryan Polyakov? He's sort of missing in action on that one. He ought to say, but they agreed to that, didn't they? You know, who cares that it's a purple playhouse?
Right.
But they're going after these kids, Gary.
Because there's money. I've said this, and I would paint it on the sky. There is no money in resolve. There's only money in conflict. And so when that playhouse comes up, a cash register gets hit, and a dollar sign pops up. Let's go after it. No conflict, no money. If there isn't a weed in your lawn, we're not making money off you. Why don't I go plant the weed? How about that? If there is not a bike on your front lawn, why don't I go and pick up a bike and throw it on your front lawn? Now I've got some cash flow.
People have actually, board members have, or homeowners have actually had cameras on there and watched board members bring their dogs over to use their front lawn as a bathroom.
Yes.
Have dumped things in open windows, have thrown trash in yards, and then cited people for doing that.
Yes.
Cited the homeowner, oh, you're a slob, you're a pig, look at all the trash in your yard, and then they come up with the camera footage, and it shows clearly that it's the board president who walked by at night and just dumped a bag of trash on their yard.
Yes.
And then sent them a letter. But that's a bully tactic.
It's a bully tactic. It's a power play, and it's certainly a statement about the people who are in authority on these boards are people who are there without any training, no psychological background. I said, why don't you at least do a medical checkup and a psych aid out when someone enters on a board? Are they mentally stable enough to be able to do this? Oh, we can't get involved in that. No, everybody's got a right to be on the board, no matter what their mental status is. Great.
So
good idea.
that is so funny. We've got a couple of minutes left, Gary, but is there a way of, I don't think there's a way of fixing this because I think the whole concept is so wrong, so fundamentally and morally wrong that you're not going to fix it. But is there some way of making it more palatable?
There is a way, and this is as a result of the studies that I've done thus far and the work that I continue to do. The money profit picture must be removed from the communities. It can no longer be a for-profit organization that is working for the nonprofit organization, the HOA. The attorneys are driving and controlling the boards. The management company are controlling the boards. Why? Because they're profit-making. If these were no longer profit-making organizations, if these had strict restrictions on the exact capitated amount that they could make, all of this would go away. And it's not going to happen.
Maryland actually has a law that caps the amount of money that an attorney can collect.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that would be a good step?
It's certainly a start. But I don't believe that it is the end because the reality is that attorney has an opportunity to work in volume. And so if I can't get all the money from one, I'll get it from three. I don't think the profit picture can be involved in these nonprofit communities. It fails right out of the gate. Evidence of this is how we've matriculated to this point in time. these communities didn't begin this way. Levittown, Pennsylvania did not begin this way. It became this way over decades.
How do you remove the profit-making machine from this? Give me an idea.
What I'm about to say is not a popular opinion. I know that. But I would suggest the following. If the President of the United States said, I am putting a 3-year moratorium on all foreclosures and fines in HOAs all over the country. Over that 3-year period, all HOAs will now be managed by local municipalities, government sectors, that all meetings will be held in government buildings, that everyone has access to those meetings, that board members would be people who were living in the community plus one government official to make sure that nothing was going on, that any legal matters that took place would take place through the district attorney's office, not through private counsel, that equal opportunity would be given to the homeowner for legal funds to be used in fighting these particular problems, and that the management would really be done by the already existing community-based public servants who drive up and down the streets and do inspections, and they do this already. That's the double payment we're making. We don't need to do this. And I would suggest to you, with this model, if the dues continued on, we would have a happier country that is contributing more to the infrastructure problem than we are now, because we don't have private industry making the money.
Do we need people driving around looking for problems?
You know, I don't think that we don't need people driving around. I do think that as a result of city inspectors who spend their time, if you will, driving neighborhoods, we'll catch things from time to time, and this can be good. But they're not making money on it, and so they're not in private wealth management and don't have an incentive to create a problem. But when we get the inspectors in the HOA, the local board members, and those local board members are being taunted and perked by the law firms and management companies, you bet they're going to turn in everybody for anything and everything.
There's some talk out there about starting to use drones to make sure that people do not. Well, you talked about drones in a number of shows ago, but the industry is actually talking about using drones to hover over people's backyards to look for violations. If your mulch is the wrong color, then the drone will catch it. But does it matter what color your mulch is?
You know, it matters if I want to go ahead and make money on it. And I can go ahead and refine that because, again, there is money in conflict. So if I can create the conflict, I'm going to do it. And for those of your listeners who are interested in reading about the problem with drones, I have an article on that that's available, HOA and Drones, and it's also available on HOA Crisis in America. One of the sections deals with drones, and I actually show how the drones are being used.
You actually had some teeny tiny ones that look like birds and look like insects?
That's correct. They look like they're like hummingbirds. You would not know that it's a drone. And that little bird flying around your house looking in your window, looking in your backyard can be a drone. And it's not a if it's going to happen. It's a when it's going to happen. California yesterday announced that a company is now going to start delivering marijuana by drones.
Oh, lovely.
Now, so look, clever, interesting thought. Who can deny that homeowners association, when approached by a law firm that says, we'll supply the drones for free, you don't need to take any money out of your funds, we'll buy them for you, you just hire us as your law firm. Who can turn that down? What a great deal.
They're doing that. Gary, we're out of time, but thank you so very much for coming on. Between us, we will educate people.
We're doing the best we can, Sue. We just keep on fighting the good fight.
We will. And I want to see this change in my lifetime.
Me too.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.